Today we are dancing and chanting through the streets of Navadvip City, which is in the island of Koladev. Koladev is a name for Lord Varahadev, the Supreme Person who appeared in the form of a boar. How this name came about is explained by Nityananda Prabhu and written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In the Satya Yuga, there was a Brahmin whose name was Vasudev. He was a very great pure-hearted devotee of Sri Varaha Avatar. He worshipped the Lord with such intense devotion. His goal of life was to have the darshan of his worshipable deity and to surrender his life unconditionally at his lotus feet. He would pray day and night, "Oh my Lord, Sri Varahadev, please, please be visible to me. If I do not see you in this life, then I will simply spend my time in utter uselessness and I will die in futility." He had no other desire but to see the Lord and to serve Him, to glorify Him. The Lord reciprocates with the love of His devotee. It was in this area that Lord Varahadev appeared in that transcendental form before his devotee, Vasudev. Vasudev surrendered his life. Lord Varahadev spoke. He said, "You are my very, very dear devotee. You have worshipped me with love. Therefore I have come before you. You should know that Navadvip Dham is my very dear abode. In fact, all holy places in all of the world reside in Sri Navadvip. In the age of Kali Yuga, I will appear here in Navadvip. I will appear to spread the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement and to distribute love of God in all directions. When I appear, you, Vasudev, will also take birth in Navadvip, and then you will see the Mahasankirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu along with his associates, where we all together chant the holy names of Krishna." Lord Varahadev then disappeared from the vision of his devotee. Vasudev was so much moved by this prophecy of the Lord, of his coming as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Being a great scholar, he performed very intensive study of the revealed scriptures. And by doing so, he could understand perfectly and clearly this great hidden mystery of the Vedas, the appearance of the most munificent of all avatars, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He spent the rest of his life worshipping the Lord in expectation of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance in the Kali Yuga. Day and night he chanted Sankirtan of the holy name. Just close to this place is the temple of Prodamaya. Prodamaya is the goddess who protects the holy dham. She is the Yogamaya potency for those sincere devotees who want to serve the Lord. She facilitates all sorts of wonderful arrangements for the devotees to express their love of God. In Vrindavan, Yoga Maya covers the devotees' understanding of Krishna's supreme opulence so that they will worship him with intimacy of love, as a friend, as a parent, or as a lover. That same Yoga Maya, when situated in the material world, appears as Mahamaya. She also covers the living entity. Those who are conditioned, who want to continue to enjoy separate from the Lord, she covers them and brings about endless attachments to the useless, futile, temporary endeavors of happiness. She keeps everyone in a suffering condition with the promise that they'll be happy if they never leave her. In Navadvip, for those who have material desires, for those who do not want to surrender to the Lord, Prodamaya covers the holy dham so it appears like an ordinary place. So the dust appears like dirt and mud, so that the dogs appear like ordinary dogs. So they spend their days just trying to find some sense enjoyment. But that same Prodamaya, for those who sincerely have intense desire to serve Lord Chaitanya and his associates, she reveals the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Very close to this place is the ancient temple of Prodamaya. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to accept the order of sannyas, he only spoke his plan to a few of his most confidential devotees, such as Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Gadadhar, Chandrasekhar, Jagadananda. But little by little, this news began to spread amongst the Vaishnavas. One night, the Lord was alone with his beloved consort, Vishnupriya. We know from the scriptures that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh in his role of Nimai Pandit, the scholar, he was teaching thousands and thousands and thousands of students on the bank of the Padma River. At that time, these students, just by hearing from the Lord, for a couple of weeks, they learned as much knowledge and were as qualified as people who studied for 14 years. That was the potency of Nimai Pandit as a teacher. So people were coming to him from all directions. And when the news came that he was going to return to Navadvip, they were coming with many, many gifts to offer in gratitude and dakshina. It was at that time that Tapan Mishra approached him. Tapan Mishra was a Brahmin who was searching what is the highest truth and how to attain it. He considered that nothing in this world has a trace of meaning unless I understand what is the highest truth and how to attain it. He was reading many scriptures, he was inquiring for many saintly persons, but no one could give him a satisfactory answer. He was praying, crying, begging, day and night, O Lord, please reveal to me what is the highest truth and how will I attain it? One night, a celestial Brahman appeared to him, told him that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, has appeared as Lord Gauranga. And he is right now here on the bank of the Padma in Bangladesh. You surrender to him. He will teach you what is the true treasure of life. So as all the people of Bangladesh were saying goodbye to the Lord, Tapan Mishra, he came and offered his prostrated obeisances. He surrendered to the Lord. He said, please, tell me, what is the goal of life and how can I achieve it? Now at that time, Nimai Pandit was just arguing all kinds of grammar and logic and rhetoric. He had not revealed his mission as the Yuga Avatar. But on this occasion, he made an exception because of the intense greed of Tapan Mishra to understand the truth. He said, my dear Brahman, the ultimate goal of life is pure love for Krishna. All the scriptures teach us that there is no higher principle than unconditional devotional service to Lord Krishna, who is the source of all avatars and the only personality who can fulfill all our soul's desires. In this age of Kali, it is only by the chanting of the holy names that one can understand Krishna. Then he quoted a verse. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranya. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way than the chanting of the holy names of Hari. Now I will teach you how to chant the holy name of Hari. Of all the mantras in the scriptures, there is one Mahamantra, the greatest of all mantras. It is 16 names with 32 syllables. You repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Within our scriptures, this is the first recorded incident where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to his devotees. Tapan Mishra said, now that I have understood you are my worshipable Lord, I wish to renounce everything of this world and follow you wherever you go. I will go back to Navadvip with you, and I will be there to see how you inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement. The Lord said, no, you should take your family and move to Varanasi. Varanasi. All your devotees will be in Navadvip. Varanasi is the capital of Mayavadis. The Lord said, you go there and I will meet you. Try to understand the significance of this devotion. He was truly qualified for the Lord's mercy because he was willing to do anything, to go anywhere, to fulfill the Lord's desire. He moved to Varanasi and he and his wife begot a wonderful son who later on became Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. While the Lord was away in Bangladesh, his beloved wife, Lakshmi Devi, could not bear the separation. She was bitten by the serpent of separation. On the bank of the holy river Ganga, she meditated on the lotus feet of her Lord, weeping and crying, literally burning in separation. She gave up her life and returned to the spiritual world to serve her beloved consort. Sachi Devi was inundated in grief. When the Lord returned from East Bengal, everyone was trying to hide this news from him. Because when you welcome someone home, you want to make him very happy. That is etiquette. So he was telling so many jokes, because the people of Bangladesh, especially the areas that he was, near the Padma, they had a very different type of dialect of Bengali. So he was imitating their dialect in so many very animated ways and making everyone laugh and laugh and laugh. And he was laughing. But meanwhile, Sachi Devi, she was in the back room crying. She did not want to show her face to the Lord because she was fearful, if he sees my tears, he will be unhappy. Let him enjoy. Where is my mother? Why is she not showing her face to me? When he saw his mother's face, she was trying to hide her grief, but it was not possible. He said, "My dear mother, I know what has happened. By seeing you, I could tell that Lakshmi Devi has left us." The Lord preached to his mother, and simultaneously lamented in his own heart in separation from his beloved consort. Soon after this incident, Sachi Mata appealed to the Lord, "Please allow me to find you another wife to marry." The Lord agreed. The Brahmin of the name Kashinath, he came with a proposal to Sachi Devi that the most virtuous, beautiful, chaste, and glorified of all young ladies is the daughter of the great Brahmin Sanatan Mishra. Her name is Vishnupriya. Actually, it is explained that Sachi Devi, when she would go to the Ganga every day, she would see Vishnupriya. She would always be there doing worship to Lord Vishnu. Sachi Devi was thinking, "I have never seen a girl with such devotion, with such divine qualities." In her heart, she was thinking, "This should be the bride of my Vishwambar." Sachi Devi was thinking, "I have never seen a girl with such devotion, with such divine qualities." In her heart, she was thinking, "This should be the bride of my Vishwambar." So Kashinath Mishra went to Kashinath went to Sanatan Mishra, and he said, "This is the proposal. Sachi Devi would like to marry her son, Gauranga, to your daughter." Sanatan Pandit said, "But I have no wealth. In fact, I have nothing to give as a dowry. I'm a very poor man. Satchimata, considered, your daughter alone is the greatest wealth. We expect nothing else. So the agreement was made. The marriage would take place. The news spread throughout directions. Budhimanta Khan, who was a very, very wealthy person, he loved Lord Gauranga. He decided that when Gauranga is married, it will not be another poor man's marriage. I will arrange such a marriage that even the great princes will think that they are insignificant. So he started making all arrangements. And then others who loved Nimai, they approached and said, Budhimanta Khan, what are you doing? Why? Do you think you should get all the glory, all the pleasure and fortune of sponsoring the whole marriage? We want to help too. And other people said, we want to help too. Nimai Pandit's getting married to Vishwapriya. We will all help. People were bringing so much wonderful gifts and wealth to help. It was the most glorious marriage. Here in Navadvip, when Vishnupriya and Sri Vishwambar made their vows of total dedication, Vishnupriya was approximately 14 when she was married to Lord Chaitanya. After some time of her serving the Lord with wholehearted, selfless devotion, it came to her attention that people were talking that he plans to take sannyas. He's only a young man of 24 years old. On this very historical night, Vishnupriya was weeping. The Lord asked her, why? Why are you crying, my dear? She replied that I heard that you are going to take sannyas. This news has crushed my heart. I feel as if I have entered into a raging, blazing fire. My life is meant for you. I live for you. I act for you. I speak for you. You are my life and my soul. My life has no value without service to you. My entire existence will be utterly wasted. I will have no reason to live if you leave me. But this I do not mind, that I may suffer, is not what causes pain to my heart. But to think of you performing the austerities of a sannyasi breaks my heart into millions of pieces. Your lotus feet are so tender and soft. I'm afraid to even touch them in fear of causing them pain. How will these lotus feet be traveling place to place through forests that are covered with thorns, branches, and rocks? Your moonlight face, being subjected to the torrential rains of the monsoons, the scorching heat of the summer. How could we tolerate the thought of this? A sannyasi has to be willing to to accept all sorts of inconveniences. Your mother, Sachi Devi, she is old. She is weak. How will she survive if you leave her? She has nothing else to live for. And your devotees, they are very dear to you. There's Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita, and Mukunda, and Murari, and Srivas. Why don't you stay here in Navadvipa and have kirtan with them? How will they live if you leave them? They will all die. Seeing her lamentation, Lord Chaitanya spoke to her with great compassion. My dear Vishnupriya, everything in this world is temporary. There are only two eternal truths: the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and the Vaishnavas who worship Him as their life and soul. Krishna and His devotees are the only two imperishable truths that we should live for. Krishna is the soul of all souls. He gives life to all living beings. A man is born, goes through boyhood, youth, then he is afflicted by old age, and at the time of death, he's frustrated and he regrets that he has wasted his entire life and cannot take anything with him. Krishna and his devotees are the only truth. Your name is Vishnupriya. Live by that name. Completely absorb yourself in worshiping Lord Sri Krishna. At that time, in order to give faith to his wife, Lord Gauranga manifested his forearm form of Vishnu to her. Although this gave her great confidence in his supreme identity, still, due to her natural love, she could not think of him as Vishnu. She could only remember him as her beloved husband, Sri Gauranga. She fell at his feet and prayed that, "I am your maidservant. Why am I so terribly suffering at this time?" Then she began to incessantly cry, feeling imminent separation of the Lord. In great love, Lord Chaitanya spoke to Vishnupriya a promise. "I promise you that whenever you remember me within your heart, I will personally appear within your heart and I will give shelter to you." Vishnupriya then exhibited her quality of total surrender. She said, "You are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. Whatever pleases you, you do that. Please do whatever makes you happy, my Lord. Let nothing obstruct your sweet will." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the month of Magh, left Vishnupriya, who was hardly 16 years old, left his mother as a widow, swam across the Ganga, went to Katwa, and accepted sannyas. From there he eventually went to Jagannath Puri. From Puri, for 2 years, he traveled throughout the provinces of South India. When he returned to Puri, he decided that he wanted to go to Vrindavan. He said, I will go to Bengal to see my mother and the river Ganges. Then he was to proceed toward Mathura. He began his journey. Many people came along with him. He came to the house of Vidyavachaspati, who lives in Vidyanagar, which is in Navadvip town. Vidyavachaspati was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and a very great devotee and learned scholar. The Lord came to his house and told him that I want to secretly stay with you. I do not want anyone to know that I am here. I want to bathe in the river Ganges, and then I will go to Mathura. Vidyavachaspati said, the fruit of my existence in this material world has today come about because you have come to my house. I surrender everything, my wealth, my home, my family, my life, to you. I will make sure that your being in my home is complete secret. No one will know that you are here. But how can the sun be hidden? For how long can that take place? Soon the news began to spread that Lord Gauranga, who has taken sannyas, has returned to Navadvip. You see, after the Lord took sannyas, even the blasphemers, even the puffed up arrogant scholars, they all began to gradually understand his supreme position. They regretted like anything that they did not take shelter of him at the time. Their hearts were simply mourning in grief that the Lord was here and we did not surrender to him. We did not even pay proper attention to him. But now he's gone and we understand these things. When the news came that he returned to Navadvip, thousands and millions of people, they began to run to the house of Vidyavachaspati. There were so many millions and millions and millions of people running down the roads that there was ultimate traffic jam. There was no space in the roads. So people, they just began to run right through the jungles. They were clearing the paths of the jungles. They were running where there was no paths, because they were in such deep expectation of seeing Navadvip Chandra. No one felt even the least bit of inconvenience. The people were embracing each other in great love, thinking, let us go together to see the Lord. I will grab onto his lotus feet. I will surrender my life to him, and then all the bondage of material karma will be finished. I will go and I will surrender and beg him for pure devotional service. This was the only talk in the entire Navadvip. The people were running and running and running. They forgot their wives. They forgot their husbands. They forgot their children. They forgot their homes. They forgot who they were. Their only thought was to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya and surrender unto him. Everyone was crying in joy very loudly the holy names. From all directions, people were chanting, Hari, Hari! They came to the bank of the Ganga. They had to cross it. There were boats. Within minutes, thousands of people were on each boat. the boats immediately broke into pieces. The boatmen were completely in anxiety. They had no more boat. So the people, whatever they had with them, they just gave to the boatman, you take this, and they began to swim across the Ganga. Those who didn't know how to swim, they took clay pots and embraced them to their chest and used that to float down the Ganga. Other people took banana tree trunks and used that as a little raft and held onto it to float across the Ganga. Some people, they were so excited and eager to see Lord Chaitanya that they forgot that they didn't know how to swim and they swam across the Ganga. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. They came to the house. There were millions and millions and millions of people all in the Ganga at the same time. They came to the house of Vidyavachaspati. They fell at his feet. We know the Lord is with you. Please, please give us darshan. They understood the Lord's mission to spread the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. The Lord was hiding in the house of Vidyavachaspati. The people were thinking, if we chant the holy names in such a way that it is so loud, with so much devotion, then only will we attract the Lord to appear before us. So all these millions and millions and millions of people all together at the top of their lungs, with all the strength of their lives, they were crying out the holy names, begging the Lord to come before them. Nothing could be heard in the four directions except the chanting of Krishna's name. Hearing this chanting, the Lord was so pleased that he appeared before them. The residents of Navadvip saw that beautiful golden form, now wearing the attire of a sannyasi. His beauty utterly charmed their hearts. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at all of them with tears in his eyes. He raised his arms and he called out, "Everyone, chant the holy names of Lord Hari." Great compassion, he turned to them and cried out, "Hari, Hari!" Each time he chanted this, millions of people with their hearts and soul responded. He raised his arms. "Hari, Hari! Hari, Hari! Hari, Hari!" Then he instructed them, "Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear the message of Krishna. Make Krishna your life, your wealth, and your breath." The people began to cry out to the Lord that you are the supreme worshipable Lord. You have descended to to propagate the Harinam Sankirtan movement. You are Patitha Pavana Avatar. You have come to deliver the most fallen. We are sinful. We are wretched. Please save us. Please deliver us. Please give us your mercy. The Lord, simply by glancing upon them, fulfilled all their eternal desires. The people were so eager to see the darshan of the Lord that thousands of people climbed on one tree. And by the Lord's mercy, not a single branch or even twig of the tree fell to the ground. Thousands of such trees, with thousands of people on each tree. On every rooftop, there were thousands of people. Some of the roofs were thatched grass roofs. But yet, not a single rooftop caved in by the Lord's mercy, because he was reciprocating with their eagerness to see him. No one was willing to return home. Everyone was content to stay for the rest of their lives seeing the beautiful darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting his holy names. While this was going on, the Lord secretly slipped away, departed for Kulia Nagar, which happens to be the place where we are today. Everyone was eagerly waiting for the Lord to reappear, but he didn't reappear. Vidya Vachaspati, whose house he was staying, he was searching frantically this direction, that direction, everywhere. He couldn't find the Lord. His heart was immersed in torment of separation. Meanwhile, the people, they were thinking, if we chant louder and louder and louder, then the Lord will come out of the house. We know he must be hiding in Vidya Vachaspati's house. Let us attract him by the loud chanting of the holy name. He didn't come. Some of the people of Navadvip approached Vidya Vachaspati. They said, "We know that he's in your house. We know that you know where he is. We know that he's hiding. But I'm all alone. I won't tell anyone. Bring me to the Lord." Vidya Vachaspati said, I don't know where he is. He's gone. I can't find him anywhere. Honestly, I'm not telling a lie. He's gone. We know he's in your house. Another person said, "You are his dear devotee. If you ask him to let me see him, he will definitely let me see him. You ask him." "I don't know where he is." When all of their attempts were not bearing fruit, the people became very angry. They started speaking very harshly against Vidya Vachaspati. "He's simply telling lies. We know he knows where the Lord is. We know he's hiding him in his house. He's a liar. He's a cheater. He's cheating all of us. What kind of a person is he? A pious person hates to see other people suffer. A saintly person wants to give whatever treasure he has for the benefit of others. This Vidya Vachaspati, he simply wants to be liberated all alone, and the rest of us, just let us go to hell." Even an ordinary man in this world with good manners, if he has a whole box full of candy, he will distribute it. He will not eat it all himself. He was being chastised, cursed by everybody in all directions. On one hand, his heart was being tormented by separation from the Lord. On the other hand, he was being criticized by everybody. Then a Brahmin whispered in his ear, "Lord Gauranga has gone to Kuliya Nagar." "Ah," Vidyavachaspati said, "I know where he is. He has gone to Kuliya. Let us all go there." By this time, there were millions and millions and millions of more people than when they first came. They came to the Ganges. You cannot picture such a beautiful scene. All these millions and millions of people trying to cross the Ganga simultaneously. Even Ananta Shesha cannot describe this scene according to Vrindavan Das Thakur. The boats were so overcrowded that right in the middle of the Ganges, they sank. But yet, no one died. Because as soon as it was just about to go below the water, all of a sudden, dry land appeared underneath it to support it. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that for those who take shelter of Lord Sri Krishna, the entire ocean of material existence, the water reduces to the amount contained within the hoofprint of a calf. So what was the difficulty for these devotees to cross the river Ganges? They came to Kuliyagram. They were searching everywhere for Lord Chaitanya. They found out he was staying in the house of one devotee of the name Madhava Das. There were so many people that before everyone's eyes, there were thousands and thousands of marketplaces and bazaars set up where anything anyone wanted was immediately available. All the farmlands and fields were completely covered with devotees eager to see the Lord. Vidyavachaspati, his life was on the line. He was searching everywhere. He had to find him. Finally, he discovered he was in the house of Madhava Das. He fell at the lotus feet of the Lord and began to offer beautiful prayers of love. Said, "All of these people, they are very harshly criticizing me, thinking that I am hiding you. Please save my life and appear before them." Meanwhile, the people were outside the house of Madhava Das, loudly chanting, hoping that the Lord will reciprocate with their devotion and appear. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before them. The people went mad in ecstatic love. There was kirtan going on. Literally, thousands and thousands and thousands of kirtan groups, each one chanting the holy names and dancing in ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing these kirtan groups in the four directions, his heart became filled with bliss. He wept tears of joy to seeing all these people chanting the holy names. And then he himself began to dance. He was dancing in all the different kirtan groups, reciprocating with everyone's love. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, seeing all these millions and millions and millions of people immersed in congregational chanting, his desires were so greatly fulfilled, he began to embrace Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the two brothers danced in ecstasy when everyone saw this, they were weeping, they were crying, they were rolling on the ground, chanting the holy names of Shri Krishna. Anyone who hears this story of Lord Chaitanya dancing in Kuliya Nagar, all the bondage of karma will be broken to pieces. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. This place is known as Aparada Bharjan Pat, because this was the special place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave the offenses of anyone who approached him with sincere devotion. The people of Navadvip blasphemed him and blasphemed his devotees in so many ways for so many years. It was here that thousands of them came to beg forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya not only gave them forgiveness, but he gave them Krishna prema. Therefore, Kuliyagram is considered one of the very, very most important places for Vaishnavas of our Sampradaya. It is the place where the Lord forgives all of our offenses if we pray with sincere and earnest hearts. One Brahmin came before him with tears in his eyes. He said, "My Lord, you appeared in Navadvip performing Harinam Sankirtan with your devotees, but I just thought you were a sentimentalist. I criticized you. I criticized your Sankirtan. I blasphemed your devotees. But now I understand that you are the worshipable Lord. Please tell me, in what way could I possibly atone for all my miserable offenses?" It was here that the Lord gave him, and through him the whole world, a very essential instruction. If a man drinks poison, that poison will cause his death. But if a man drinks nectar, that will not only counteract the effects of the poison, but it will give him immortal life. Criticizing a Vaishnava is willingly drinking poison with your mouth, glorifying Krishna. And glorifying his devotees is like drinking nectar. With that same mouth that you have blasphemed the devotees, you glorify the devotees and you chant the holy names. Now you go, and wherever you are, you glorify the devotees of the Lord. He gave that devotee Krishna prema. At that time, Devananda Pandit was a little distance away. Today, Maharaji is told us that story. Devananda Pandit felt so ashamed due to his false pride and his offenses that he couldn't even stand before the Lord. But because of his service to Vakreshwar Pandit, faith in the Lord awakened in his heart. The Lord said, "Because you have served Vakreshwar with attention, you can come before me." Krishna always resides within Bhakreshwar Pandit's heart. When he dances, Krishna dances. Wherever he is, all the holy places reside. Because you have served my devotee, I will give you my mercy. He accepted Devananda Pandit as his intimate associate and awarded him pure love of Krishna. Devananda Pandit said to the Lord that, I'm reciting Bhagavatam, but I don't know anything about it. Please tell me, in what way should I explain Bhagavatam? The Lord told him, from beginning, middle, and end, the Srimad Bhagavatam has only one subject, bhakti. When you are discussing Bhagavatam, only one word should come out of your mouth, bhakti, and that which glorifies bhakti. Hearing these words, Devananda Pandit became transformed. There was Gopal Chakravarti. Gopal Chakravarti was a very, very learned, proud Brahmin who was living in Krishnapur, just near Adi Saptagram, where we will all be going tomorrow. The birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. I will tell the story tomorrow, but in brief, Haridas Thakur was invited there to speak about the glories of the holy name, and he said that the real fruit of chanting the holy name is pure love of Krishna. Just a faint, dim reflection of Nam Bas. When we're chanting the holy name, we get liberation. Liberation or mukti is an insignificant byproduct of love of God, which is the true purpose of chanting the holy name. Gopal Chakravarti was an impersonalist. He could not tolerate hearing this. What? What are you saying? Mukti, the ultimate goal of life, the supreme destination, is an insignificant subordinate byproduct to love of Krishna? This is nonsense. He was thinking, because Haridas Thakur was from a low-class family, what right does he have to speak these things? I am Brahmin. I curse you! If it is not true what you are saying, let your nose fall off. Hare Krishna. Govardhan and Hiranyamatu Madar, as well as Balaram Acharya, they invited Haridas into their home. And now he's being blasphemed. Gopal Chakravarti, it is said, he was a very handsome man. His nose, his fingers were like the golden buds of a champak flower. He was an employee of Hiranya and Govardhan. They immediately fired him. They said, get out of here. We never want to see your face again. You have blasphemed a great devotee. Why have you done this? But he didn't care. He lost his job. He lost everything. But he was so arrogant. He considered, what I spoke is the truth and I don't care what you think. He left. Within 3 days, leprosy came upon him, and his beautiful nose, fingers, and toes fell off. When Haridas Thakur heard about this, he felt very sad, begging for the welfare of this sinner. That man suffered for years and years and years. But when he heard that the Lord was in Kulia, he came here. Here he begged at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive him for his offenses. The Lord said, you have offended the holy name of Krishna. The only resolve
is you must constantly chant that holy name with humility and devotion. Then the Lord gave him pure love of Krishna.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki.
We described yesterday at Srivasangam the story of Gopal Chapala, who trying to ruin the good name of Srivas, he also received the mercy of leprosy. When the Lord was walking down the bank of the Ganges, Gopal Chapala surrendered to the Lord. He said, please relieve me of this torment of misery. Please take this leprosy away from me. Give me shelter. You have offended Srivas. Therefore I curse you. For the next 10 million births you will have leprosy, then you will go to hell. And he left that place in great anger. Years later, Gopal Chapala came here to Kulia. The Aparada Bharjan Kulia, the place where all offenses are forgiven. With tears in his eyes, earnest remorse in his heart, he prayed to the Lord. The Lord said, I have no power to forgive you. Just as Lord Vishnu had no power to forgive Durvasa Muni, only Ambarish Maharaj had that power. If you offend a devotee, unless that devotee forgives you, there is even the Supreme Lord cannot give you shelter. Even his name will not give you shelter. You go to Srivas. You have hurt him. Gopal Chapala fell at the lotus feet of Srivas Pandit. Srivas embraced him, wholeheartedly forgave him. When Gopal Chapala came here to Kulia, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him of his leprosy and gave him the treasure of Prema Bhakti. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. The Lord demonstrated in many ways that the most grievous of all offenses is an offense against a Vaishnava. In fact, he even demonstrated this with his own mother, Sachimati. We explained the story yesterday at Srivasangam. What was the offense she committed? Vishwaroop, her eldest son, was constantly associating with Sri Advaita Prabhu. And after some time, he left home and took sannyas. The only thing that Sachimata had was her Nimai. Her eldest son left. Her husband had left. But after Nimai returned from Gaya, he was spending practically his whole day with Advaita Prabhu. He was hardly with her or his wife. He was always hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna with Advaitacharya, Srivas, and the devotees. But of all the devotees, Advaitacharya was the leader amongst them. When Vishwaroop took sannyas, she was thinking in her heart that it is due to the influence of Advaita that he has left me. But knowing how dangerous Vaishnava Aparada is, she did not speak a single word to anyone. She kept it within her heart. But when she saw Gauranga Mahaprabhu, her beloved Nimai, associating with Advaita, day and night. She could not contain her anxiety, and she went around speaking that people call him Advaita, but in my heart, he is Dvaita. Dangerous Vaishnava apparatus. She did not speak a single word to anyone. She kept it within her heart. But when she saw Gauranga Mahaprabhu, her beloved Nimai, associating with Advaita day and night, she could not contain her anxiety, and she went around speaking that people call him Advaita, but in my heart, he is Dvaita. He has already taken away one moon-like sun, and now he will not leave my other one alone. I am a poor widow. I have no one to protect me. No one cares anything about me. I'm helpless. He's my only hope. People call him Advaita, but in my mind, he is Dvaita Maya, full of duplicity. She actually committed no offense. But to show the example that even if the Lord's own mother offends a Vaishnava, cannot achieve Krishna praying without getting the forgiveness of that Vaishnava. So we may be thinking that I am an important person. In my position, I have a right to speak what I feel. I've been chanting for so many years. I've been doing so many tapasyas. I've read so many books. But whoever you are, up to the Lord's own mother, if you offend a Vaishnava, you will lose his mercy. It was here at Kulia that offenses were forgiven. We have come here for this purpose, to beg Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu that by his mercy we will give up the propensity to offend others. We will beg Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, by his causeless mercy, please give me the humility to beg forgiveness for whatever offenses I have made. Why should we let our egoistic pride stand between our soul and the spiritual world? Humble yourself. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sihishnana, amanina manadena sphirtaniya. The Lord will forgive all offenses to those who approach him here in Kuliagram. While the Lord was here in Navadvip, Sachi Mata was so happy that after so many years, my beloved child, Nimai, has returned. She said to Vishnupriya, come, let us go. Let us go to Kulia, to the house of Madhava Das. There we will see our beloved. She was making so many preparations, bringing food stuff, so excited to go to see the Lord. Vishnupriya could only weep. He is a sannyasi. According to the strict tradition of a sannyasi, he cannot see his former wife. Sachi Devi, you go. Although my heart is breaking in millions of pieces, I cannot go with you. Sachi Mata came to meet the Lord. Vishnupriya remained home in an ocean of sorrow. Knowing this, the Lord instructed one of his dear devotees, Bhamsi Badana. To carve a deity of himself. Bhamsi Badana created this very beautiful deity of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the Lord's blessing, that deity was presented to Vishnupriya. At that time, knowing the torment of Vishnupriya's heart, the Lord personally gave his own wooden sandals to be given to Vishnupriya to worship. She worshipped those sandals and the deity of Lord Gauranga as her heart and soul. She worshipped Gauranga Mahaprabhu in this form for 74 years. She would chant the holy names of the Lord in intense separation, day and night. After chanting mantras, the holy name, she would place one grain of rice aside. At the end of the day, she would cook all that rice and make other sabjis and other preparations and offer it to her Lord. She would distribute all the sabjis, sweets. She would only eat those few grains of rice every day to survive. She became emaciated due to the feelings of separation for the Lord. When she was 90 years old, 74 years later, Vishnupriya entered into this deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The way people understood this is when they came for the darshan of the Lord, they saw that the deity was wearing Vishnupriya's nose ring. In this place, Sri Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu has been giving darshan for the last 500 years. Today, he is not giving darshan because he's been repainted, and for 1 month he will be behind closed doors. But this is actually very auspicious, because this deity and the worshipable devotee, Vishnupriya, who serve this deity, they represent to our sampradaya serving in separation. So although we are here, and he is only a few feet away from us, we must worship him in separation. Let us pray that the true feelings of separation from the Lord will burn in our heart like a fire that destroys all of our material desires, all of our attachments, this flickering existence. Let us pray, following in the footsteps of Vishnupriya Devi, that we can wholeheartedly give our lives for his pleasure and his pleasure alone. Jai Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a boon that anyone who comes to worship this deity will become his eternal associate in due course of time. Would you like to speak something?
Hare Krishna. The Navadipa Mahatmya. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was telling Jiva Goswami the deity of Sri Vishnu Priya, the deity that she was worshipping of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that will be worshipped here in this area by a very devoted Brahmana family and will have a very high standard of worship. And I think in all the places of Navadvipa, you can actually feel that when we come to this temple here. And these shoes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that are covered in silver, that on darshan there, where the picture is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's koram, his wooden shoes. There are many, many temples that claim to have the shoes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if you are fortunate enough to touch these shoes, or he sometimes places them on your head, then you understand actually these are definitely the shoes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these feelings are very, very prominent here. This is, in my estimation, it's the most sacred place here in Navadvipa, that the presence of the Lord is very much manifested here by His kindness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Dhameshwara Prabhu ki.
On our way back to the boats at the ghat, we will pass the Kuliya Dharamshala. This is the place where Gaurakishore Das Babaji performed his bhajan in a latrine. Because so many materialistic people were coming to him to receive worldly benedictions. He could not tolerate this. He was thinking that to live with stool and urine is much more pleasant than to be in the association of materialistic people who want sense gratification. When the superintendent and the high commissioner came to see him, he locked the door and bolted it from within the latrine. They said, "We want to build you a nice bhajan kutir. Please let us build it for you." He said, "No, let me chant my rounds here." Chanted all day. One time, a very, very wealthy Maharaj, he invited Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj to visit his palace. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "If you want my association, if you want to do bhajan, then you renounce your palace, you renounce your family, you come and live in this latrine with me, then I will see you." Hare Krishna. He was not so concerned with flattering people for donations. He was very strict. Sri Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki. Also in Kuliya Dharamshala, it was the Bhajan Kutir right next to that of Bamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. He was an avadut. People, ordinary worldly people, could not in any way understand him. He appeared like a madman. He had deities of Gorni Thai, and he had such special love for them that he would always be talking to his deities. Sometimes he would offer them a special type of food, and he would start to argue with them that, why I'm only getting this food? I want to cook something else for you. Why nobody's bringing it? And he would actually have arguments with his deities, and people would look at him like he was crazy. Sometimes he would chastise them because he didn't think they were eating everything he was offering them.
One time, he was picking some flowers for the deities,
And some young boy came and pushed him down. So he went to the deity and started chastising Krishna. You're the supreme controller. Why did you let that boy push me? I was doing service to you. Why did he push me down? I'm not going to give any more flowers to you. I'm not going to give anything to you. Then he started feeling so much deep separation from the deities, he came back to offer everything. Because materialistic people were thinking that he will give them benedictions. The place where we're about to go, he would collect from the garbage heaps bones from fish, and he would spread them all around his house so that people would think that he ate fish, and therefore they would not come to him for any more benedictions. He was avidut. But yet, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, they came to seek his association. Although Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so completely strict against sahajas, against any artificial type of devotion, against imitation, still, he would regularly go to Bhamsi Das Babaji and worship him. And he told all his disciples, he is a Paramahamsa. He is a truly great soul, but you will never be able to understand. Bhamsi Das Babaji Maharaj King. I remember in 1971, I was living in a Gaudiya Math before I came to Srila Prabhupada. And on the walls of the temple room, there was this one photo. There was the six Goswamis. There was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There was Lord Chaitanya. There was Radha Krishna. And there was this one quite large photo. I couldn't understand. Who is this person? It's the man with, looked like a madman. Long, long gray hair, long beard, only a open loincloth, sitting in a crouched position. And I asked one of the residents about months, can you explain this? He doesn't look like anybody living here. He doesn't look like any of the other photos. They said, this is Bhamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. And just by saying his name, the person started crying and offered his obeisances. I said, well, this is Bhamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. He said, our Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he worshipped his lotus feet. That is the substance of his realization. Kulia is a very, very sacred place. We are so fortunate to be here today.
Go, Pramanam.